At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
All right, but now let's go out on the guest line and talk to our pal, my podcast partner, and just generally wonderful guy. Elliot Shortparks is brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. What up, E?
You know, there's many things I love about you, but your willingness to call out injustice with this scheduling is certainly one of them. So keep fighting the good fight.
That's right, Elliot.
Keep fighting the losing fight.
Yes,
because that's not going to change anytime soon with the checks that the NBA is cashing.
I'm like Jody Mack's answer for our topic today. I'm like George Costanza. I see an injustice. I can sense the slightest bit of human suffering.
That's exactly right.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly right.
All right, Elliot, we'll get to the Eagles in a little bit, obviously, but let's start with the Sixers last night. Your thoughts on, obviously, a disappointing game one and what you think it means moving forward, if anything.
Yeah, I think it's been a while since you could give the Sixers the benefit of the doubt, right? I mean, right after game one against the Celtics, everyone agreed it was over. And because they came back there, I think you can look at this and go, okay, it was a quick turnaround emotionally. I think it was hard. The Knicks really shot the ball well. But it's still the Sixers, right? So I think what the last night reminded me of is it's a long road to get to the NBA Finals. It's a journey. It's a lot of games. And this team might not be built for the long run in a lot of games. So, I'm trying not to overreact. I do agree it's only one game. We've seen him come back before. But when you see the team look so tired, you see Joel play so bad, it's just a reminder of how hard it is for this specific group and this specific player to really get up every night for a game.
Other than the fact that, yeah, now they can take a deep breath, is there anything Nurse can do to combat what you just suggested? That this group, it can do things kind of like the flight in spurts, but then when the bottom drops out, it drops out ugly. Is there anything, he said all the right things, but is there anything Nurse can do as a coach to try and change that narrative?
Yeah, so I do like that he pulled the starters early last night. I thought it was smart to give them extra rest. So I do think that was a smart move by Nick Nurse. But, you know, outside of that, the other issue they had last night, Jalen Brunson and the calls he gets. I'm not normally a complaint about the ref guy. James will tell you that. Like, it's not normally the route I go down. But they're going to have to learn to guard Brunson with the whistle he gets. Like, some of the shots he got or the free throws he got were insane whistles, right? They're barely touching them. So I think you saw VJ Edgecombe last night, who I do think can defend Brunson pretty well. I think last night was a learning experience for him on how he needs to guard Brunson, how they're going to call it. So I think VJ could do better on Brunson moving forward. But look, if Embiid averages 8 points, they're going to get blown out in every game. So as much as we can talk adjustments and different things, ultimately, their best players need to play better. Embiid needs to be better. Maxey needs to be better. And I think once VJ gets a swing of how he can guard Brunson, you will see much more competitive games.
You were, I think, correct in heading into Game 7 talking about how much more Embiid had to gain from winning that game for his legacy than lose. He's already a playoff loser and all that. How do you feel about the expectations for the Sixers for this series? Because, you know, with the Flyers, we've been talking a lot about house money, and, you know, there's really nothing that could happen in this Kane series where we're going to be, like, super bummed out about them playing, because they've already achieved something. The Sixers, it's an interesting spot because we all agree that Celtics win is the best win of the Embiid era. They kind of got past a team that had their number over the hump. But to a point Jody made yesterday, and it's dead on true, like, they still haven't gotten out of this round. You know, the whole thing has been the second rounders thing. Embiid's still the only MVP in NBA history to knock it out of the second round. How do you balance those expectations where it's unexpected that they're there, but there's also a lot of weight to the history?
You know, I honestly think my real thought off of that question is just how little playoff success he's had that a win like that over the Celtics
totally.
really does just kind of change so much for him. So look, the Celtics win was an absolutely great win. I think it is his signature win. I think you're seeing him play free. And again, I don't want to overreact to last night, but you know, life moves on, right? The games keep going. And it's a reminder that if they lose this series, if they're not competitive, let's say they lose in five, he will still have that albatross around his neck of having never been out of the second round. So the Celtics win was a great one, but I think just holistically, this series could be a reminder of just how little playoff success he has had.
All right. My last Sixer question, interested to hear Elliot's take on this. We'll go optimistic. Glass is not only half full, it's spilling over. They turn it around and they take out the Knicks. So next round, they either get the Tobias Harris-led Pistons or the James Harden-led Cavs.
It's so funny.
Which of those two does Elliot Parks want to see for the Sixers next? Hypothetical question, yes. I'm very much looking forward to your hypothetical answer.
Yeah, I feel like a series with the Joel Embiid-led Sixers versus either Harden or Tobias, no team would win, right? That would probably just go 14 games before somebody eliminated somebody. But no, I think of those two series, if you do want to, you know, project that they win the series, and they still absolutely could, I think you would still much rather face the Pistons. Look, Tobias, I know he had a big game seven. He's just not the player James Harden is. Donovan Mitchell, I still think, is the best player. Cade Cunningham's very good, but I would still say Donovan Mitchell is the best player of those two teams. So, but the other thing, you know, we've talked about expectations a lot so far this morning. They would be expected to beat either of those teams. Like, I do think the Sixers.
Yeah, especially if they win this series against the Knicks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
This is the Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't disagree. I do think.
You know, the last thing I.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you.
The last thing I would say about, you know, Embiid expectations and legacy and stuff is, you know, it only takes one playoff run. Like, Iverson only had one year of successful playoff run. Bryce Harper has only had the one run, right? So, if they can get out of this series, they make it to the finals. Look, would it shock me if they did it? Of course. I think it's really hard to do. And then you have Oklahoma, who's maybe one of the best teams of all time. Like, I doubt they would win that series. But things change quickly. And if he can just get through the Knicks, I think he has a very, very winnable series in that next round. And then you're talking about him completely different than we have in the past.
Yeah, no, it's wild what's potentially in front of him. All right, let's get a couple of Eagles questions in before we let you out of here. We haven't talked to you here really since rookie camp happened last week. Any big takeaways from being down there, seeing the guys, what happened?
Yeah, well, look, you know, practice at the Nova, or the
it's your happy place.
Complex. It's my happy place. So I love being there. It was awesome seeing the helmets back out there, watching practice. A reminder, football's not too far away. We're basically at training camp, which is at the end of July. So it was cool to be out there. It's one of those things where you really just get eyes on these guys. Like, we've talked about them so much, their height, their weight, their 40 times, and then you actually see them out there. And it's a chance to, you know, get that look at it. So Markel Bell, unexpectedly, 6'9" tackle. He's a big guy. Like, they definitely have big. They got big offensive linemen. Mekhi Lemon, on the other hand, certainly very much the part of the 5'11". Some guys will be listed as, you know, 5'10", 5'11", and they look a little bit bigger. That's not Mekhi Lemon. He's an undersized receiver. So they're going to have to figure out how to get him the ball. I don't anticipate him being somebody that wins a lot of 50-50 balls down the sideline, which, let's be honest, is a lot of what they've done with A.J. and Devontae. So he looks smooth out there. He did look faster than I think the 40 time would indicate, but certainly not the biggest receiver that they've drafted.
I gave out these numbers yesterday, Elliot, and I want you to give me yours. There are three potential things that can happen with A.J. Brown. He's traded to the New England Patriots. He stays with the Philadelphia Eagles. Or someone else sneaks in and the Patriots are playing hardball and they're close to a deal, but something changes and all of a sudden that deal that people think is already done isn't quite done yet. I broke it down as 85% chance he's a Patriot, 10% chance he stays with the Eagles, and 5% chance that out of left field, someone else gets involved and gets dealt elsewhere. Give me your numbers on the three possibilities for A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I would go 95% chance he's a Patriot, 4.5% another team jumps in.
And half percent that he stays.
That's good.
The Eagles. Yeah, he's gone. He's gone. Like, look, you can, like Nick Sirianni said a few months ago, you can never guarantee anything, right? Like, certainly something very, very unexpected could happen. But I think both sides are ready to move on. I think AJ would like to be somewhere else. And I think the Eagles are perfectly fine trading AJ. So if for whatever reason the Patriots were to drop out and just say, you know what, we don't want him, I think they would trade him somewhere else. I think the Chiefs make sense. I think the Ravens could potentially make sense. They would find another partner. So you never say never, but I think very much, you know, I will be covering AJ in training camp when the Eagles go to New England to face the Patriots. But outside of that, he won't be in an Eagles uniform this season.
Yeah, good question there from Jody, and it leads into my last one for you. Outside of the AJ trade, whenever it happens, whatever happens there, what is there anything else left this off? I mean, obviously, you know, we've got training camp coming up, but prior to training camp, do you expect Howie to make any other meaningful moves prior to training other than an AJ Brown trade?
Yeah, I still think they'll bring in a veteran safety. You know, I was going over the roster yesterday, looking at all the 90 players, and I will say it is one of the most competitive rosters, just in terms of roster spots up for grabs, that I can remember, right? Like, there is a lot of jobs on the line. So I think there's already a lot of good battles. But you look at the safety position, and they really only have one guy that you could say will definitely be on the roster, and that's Andrew Mukuba.
Yeah.
Like, Marcus Epps, Michael Carter, you know, JT Gray is a special teams guy. Like, they have players there, but I don't think they have anybody that you would say, okay, I feel really confident about him starting week one. And frankly, I don't even think they feel that way about Mukuba. So I still think a veteran safety is a position that they'll be in the market for.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. All right, E, awesome stuff. Elliot will be on with us on Friday, and check out the Go Birds pod and feel better, pal. I know you're feeling a little... A little cold today.
Appreciate
so feel
it.
Better, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Wait, Elliot has a cold.
Yes, both of you. Did you guys give it
Elliot,
to each other? Were you guys hanging out?
Brutal. No.
Yeah, Rhea's got a cold
now
today.
I know
too.
Who to blame.
Yeah. we only text each other, so unless you can get it.
Hey, you never know. Things are weird these days. Maybe it's through text. Yeah. All right, Elliot. Great stuff, man. Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks, buddy.
All right, let's talk to Shiel Kapadia. He does a wonderful job covering the Eagles and the entire NFL for The Ringer, but he also covers all of this stuff in his heart, living here, following it all, and we got a lot of sports to talk to Shiel about. Shiel, good morning, pal.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Great.
Shiel, I got limited feel on tonight's Sixers game. Let's start there. I just don't have much of a feel other than I'll say this. I think the whole story of game one, the whole thing, was the Sixers were dead tired. And I don't take much out of it other than they're unfortunately in an 0-1 hole, which hurts. But I don't read too much into the actual play of game one. Agree or disagree?
No, I feel the same way. You know, I think you looked at that and the way they came out there in that game, and you went into the series hoping that they could split the first two. And obviously, they just looked outmanned from the beginning coming off of that 7-game series. So I like their chances tonight. I think you bounce back. I thought in game one they didn't do enough to make Jalen Brunson work on the defensive end. I didn't think Tyrese Maxey was aggressive enough in the first half of that game. I think he has a big game tonight. I think they bounce back. I'm not going to overreact to the game one loss.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Bigger foul baiter, Brunson or Embiid?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to say Brunson. You know what? But I will say this. Neither side should be complaining about the other in this series because they both do it. It's part of the game. You watch all these NBA games. It's part of it. But, yeah, this is one where Jaylen Brown, you know, if you're listening, you know, no complaining about the refs in this
Jaylen Brown, by the way, got hit with a $50,000 fine yesterday, and he deserved it for his comments after the Celtics Game 7 loss.
Wow.
Yeah. The
50
NBA.
Grand. I didn't realize
Now. When you have the biggest, he did at least as of a year ago. I don't know if he still does.
Yeah, the biggest contract in the league.
The biggest contract in the league. And I believe, John, $330 million. You can kind of deal with that.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, pretty.
$50,000 doesn't sound like that really much good. In that case, does it?
I didn't know he was that good.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Circumstantial, you know, too, the timing.
I feel like we didn't get enough time to bask you know, with the Celtics' misery after that. You know, just seeing them falling apart, because I hate the Celtics more than I love the Sixers, and I will digest any piece of information about how they're crashing out after that 7-game loss.
Totally
so, yes,
agree.
Beat it all to me right now.
All right, so, Shield, let's get to some Eagles stuff, and let me tell you something that Baldy told me the other day. I don't know if he has said this publicly on WIP, but he said it to me the other day, and it grabbed my attention, and I was like, wow. Tell me if you've heard anything about this, if you could see this scenario happening. Baldy was telling me he could still see a scenario where AJ gets traded to the Rams, and he said he sees a scenario where Puka Nacua gets traded to the Eagles. You got any thoughts on that?
Wow, no, I have not. I have not heard anything about that. That would be quite the bombshell in this AJ Brown saga. I still feel like it is going to be the New England Patriots, that the terms have been agreed on, and that I would be shocked if anything else happens here post June 1st. But that, again, that would be now Puka Nacua.
Why would they give up Puka? That's crazy.
Well, he's got some issues. Nacua has had some very troubling off-field stuff. You know, this offseason and really in the past there. So if that's something that has become a bigger issue, if they have more information on that, then maybe they think about moving on. If we're talking about just on-field play, he may be the best wide. He may have been the best wide receiver
for
in the
money.
NFL
yeah.
last year. Yeah, he was terrific.
So I am really excited about our seventh rounders, international players. But let's start at the top, Shiel, Mekhi Lemon, what are your expectations through these OTAs, and what, how much can you glean from the activities that are going on right now at NovaCare?
Yeah, I think you can have some takeaways with the passing game. You know, these are passing camps, so anytime it's offensive line play, defensive line play, run game, I don't put any stock into it really until we get the pads on. But in terms of the passing game, that's what they're working on. And so I think the things you want to see is he picking up the offense quickly. What are the veterans saying about him? I know when I was a full-time beat writer and covering the team, that's what I was always interested in, because you could tell the vets sometimes there would be a rookie who really caught their attention. Yep. And they were thinking, man, this guy's a hard worker, and he's really about the right stuff, and we're really excited about having him. And then there would be other times where you could kind of get the sense this guy's getting hyped up a little bit. Everyone pumped the brake. So that would be something I would keep an eye on. What are the other guys saying about his work ethic, his mentality, the way he practices, the way he tries to fit in as a rookie, as a first-round pick? So I think those are some of the things maybe to keep an eye on in the next few weeks here.
So right now, as you expect the starting offense going through these OTAs to be Dontavian Wicks at X, Devontae Smith at Z, and Mekhi Lemon at the slot, or do you see it differently? We know that they like Johnny Wilson an awful lot as a blocker. We know that Darius Cooper last year, they were hoping for, you know, some nice things from him as an athlete. And then we also have Hollywood Brown in the mix somewhere, Elijah Wood somewhere in the mix. How do you make sense of that?
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. I would be surprised if week one of next season and they get into the three wide receiver sets, the 11 personnel. I think it's what you said right there with Dontavian Wicks, Devontae Smith, and Mekhi Lemon. Now, the question is, at least a little bit, how much are they in three wide receiver sets? You know, is that going to be their predominant personnel grouping? How much are they going to want to play with two tight ends, with Sean Mannion? But I think those are the three guys. You know, Mekhi Lemon, I think his strength is really going to be in the middle of the field, making those tough catches in the slot. Devontae Smith can really do anything. I think he's one of the more complete wide receivers in the NFL, and I think he's going to have a monster season. And Dontavian Wicks, if you look at it, he can play slot, he can play on the outside, but I would expect in this offense he would probably play a little bit more outside given the other wide receivers you have on the roster.
The offensive lineman that we drafted, the tackle Markell Bell and the guard Micah Morris, third rounder, sixth rounder. How long are we expected to wait until they're up to speed to be able to get in there and play?
I mean, this is the big unknown with the 2026 Eagles. You could ask me about any offensive lineman on the roster, and I would kind of tell you, I'm not sure. You know, other than Lane Johnson, we know what we're getting. Jordan Mailata, I think we know what we're getting. But pretty much any other offensive lineman on the roster, when you have this massive change with your offensive line coach, it's really hard to predict. And I think those guys, you know, Markell Bell, I think it would be a great outcome if he looked good enough to become your swing tackle. I'm not sure that that's going to happen immediately. It might be later in the season. It might be next season where that's the case. You brought back Fred Johnson, so he doesn't have to be your swing tackle. And then Micah Morris, I mean, he's a sixth-round pick. Those guys are generally fighting for a roster spot. So I'm very curious to see the development of the young offensive linemen. This is something we've seen in Philadelphia for over a decade. We could be confident in Philadelphia for over a decade that if there is something there with these guys, Jeff Stoutland's going to get the most out of them. And now that you have a different offensive line coach, you just kind of have to wait and see. It's not that it can't happen or that it won't happen. It just adds a degree of uncertainty to it that we didn't have previously.
Something you said earlier, you know, 11 personnel, zebra personnel, is that what the Eagles will prefer? Three wides, one back, one tight end, or with our new offensive coordinator and the new tight end, who is such a mismatch.
And keeping Goddard.
Eli Stowers, with Dallas Goddard as well. How good is Stowers as a receiver / wide out / tight end, like the all-purpose tight end who can catch like a wide out? Does it seem strange that we have 8 tight ends in camp right now? I mean, that seems a little heavy.
And I got
it?
One more question, Shield. Did John just ask 12 questions in the same question?
tight end, tell us stuff.
You know, Stowers, it's strange that he seems like a really key player for them. As a rookie, as a second-round pick, you look at it, and what he's able to do could really dictate a lot of what they're able to do. Because when these teams want to play with multiple tight ends, the whole idea is, hey, if the other team is going to bring in their nickel and they're going to play in their sub packages, we can run the football on them and we can really catch them. The problem is Stowers has not shown that he is a plus blocker. And so if I'm a defensive coordinator and they're playing with 2 tight ends and Stowers is one of the tight ends, I say, go ahead. I'll take my chances with my defensive back against him. So he's really going to have to prove that he can be a good blocker if that's something they want to lean into this season. Now, he looked like a dynamic wide pass catcher in college. I will say this. I was looking up the history of tight ends taken in the second round, and if you look at it, the last 10 years on average, they only have about 240 yards as rookies. So I do think we have to keep expectations in check here with a guy like Stowers. I think he's an exciting player. I think we're going to want to watch him once we get out there to training camp. But it's not usual, it's not common that a tight end taken in the second round comes in and is all of a sudden one of your, you know, 3 or 4 best pass catchers.
Interesting fact right there. All right, Shield, final thing. You know, we're into May now, and if a Jalen extension is going to happen, it's probably in the next 2 months before training camp or so. So let me ask you this question. If Jalen, and they probably have done this, Jalen and his agent have probably gone to Howie and said, we're getting near the end of the deal. We'd like a new deal, you know, a new 3-4 year deal. We've been making about $50 million. Let's make it $60 million. If you're per year, if you're Howie Roseman, you're saying yes or no, and why?
I'm saying no to it's Jalen Hurts. You guys asked me about Jalen Carter before. I mean, I think the head coach Nick Sirianni has pressure on him. I mean, this to me is just a big pivot season for a lot of these guys, where I'm not tying myself to them longer. Right now, given the season that the Philadelphia Eagles just had last year. So I'm saying, you know what, we love Jalen. We believe in him. But right now, we got a lot of changes with this organization. We have a lot of changes with the offense. We have a lot of different priorities with different players who are looking for extensions. So we're just going to play this thing out. That's our preference, because we're not going to be able to pay you what you want to be paid right now. And so we're going to play this thing out. We expect Jalen Hurts to have a great season. And once he does that, you know, you've done business with us. We'll pay him at the top of the market.
So that, Shield,
that's how I'm looking at it.
I agree with you, but I'll tell you what is wild about it. He's obviously won a ton of games. And like when Bryce goes to the Phillies and says, I want an extension, Bryce is looking for an extension into his 40s, which the Phillies, of course, are right to not do. When Jalen and his agent go to the Eagles, they're just looking for an extension into his early 30s. So it is notable, because I agree with you. But if he does not get it this offseason, they can say all that we love him publicly and we love him privately all they want. But if they don't give him an extension and it was early 30s, they don't really love him.
Well, I would say this, though. There are other quarterbacks in that draft class. I can't remember if it's Burrow or whoever else it was. And those guys, I think, signed extensions around the same time as Jalen Hurts, and they haven't got the massive.
Herbert's, you know, the other one you're trying to think of.
Herbert,
there
you go. Herbert's the other one, and they haven't gotten it this offseason. So it's like there's no, you know, there's no massive rush at this stage. It's not like you got to make a decision right now type deal. And I think what happens a lot of times with the quarterbacks is they're not in a rush to sign it, because like Jalen Hurts knows that the price is only going up, the salary cap is only going up, and like it's really not going to be an issue for him to get a deal here or elsewhere if things go south here for him. So I think you see some of these quarterbacks, they say, we actually don't want to be ahead of the market because the price is only going up at the quarterback position, and so we're fine waiting. So I don't think that there may not be the pressure that we typically think from either side to get an extension
done. Well, Dak is certainly an example. By waiting, it can really benefit the player. Hey, Shiel, great work, my man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, dude.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right, there he is, Shiel Kapadi.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
All right, Hugh, before we go any further, I said there was one poll question that I did not reveal. It is out there, but I didn't want to bring it up on the air until we had the discussion, because there's some context behind it. So Eagles draft a couple weeks ago, right? And they took the quarterback, Cole Payton, in the fifth round out of North Dakota State. Now, Hugh, we discussed him pre-draft. I thought he was interesting in terms of the quarterbacks in this draft.
Look green.
Yep. If the Eagles were to take one, I identified him as someone like, he's kind of interesting. I wonder if he'll end up here. He did. And I think he could become something, and I think he's an interesting prospect down the line. But this struck me as, like, whoa. So Jason Lockett Fora, who's covered the NFL for a long time, had a story out yesterday about Cole Payton, the Eagles' fifth-round pick out of North Dakota State. And the headline is, let me pull it up here, Cole Payton, future Eagles starter. Some NFL execs wouldn't be surprised. All right, so there, that's a pretty interesting headline. Obviously, I'm going to click on that. But what caught me was the quotes from the executives in the NFL. Quote, "You know I believe in that kid," said one longtime personnel executive. "That was my number two quarterback in the draft. And how he takes him? Come on. He sees it too. Cole Payton, if you bring along the right way, can start in this league." Further, "All that stuff you hear about Jalen Hurts, all the drama and where he is in his contract, you can call me crazy, but I think this kid could come and take over from him in a few years. They did this stuff before with Cobb when they still had Donovan. I know how he thinks. The kid has a chance." Another executive, he went to someone else for a quote, said, quote, "That is such a great spot for him to land. He's better off there in the fifth round than Arizona in the third, really. I love the fit. I think he could play in the league, but he's still really raw." Hugh, your reaction to, you don't typically hear this, right? So you hear it with second, third, fourth round picks sometimes. It's very rare you hear before a guy plays that someone thinks a fifth round pick quarterback could become a starter. Sometimes it happens by accident, like Brock Purdy, right? But no one said that about Brock Purdy until he started playing. And then you're like, oh, he can play. Your thought on an executive saying this before he even gets to training camp, that they drafted a fifth round pick quarterback that could be a starter one day.
A little hyperbolic, but I get it, because they're gonna work with him. He's in a position right now where there's no pressure for him to play right now. But I don't think, when you talk about when you talking about what, when Jalen retires and he's here?
No, I doubt that's what he's talking about.
Four, five years.
I don't think that's the implication.
When Jalen retires, I don't see it, because what you're basically saying is that let's workshop this a little bit. Jalen's in a position, right, where he has no guaranteed money left on his deal after, was it this year? Yeah. If I'm not mistaken,
well,
after this year.
Very little guaranteed after this season.
Yes. So you're banking on him being ready to go within the next couple years, Joe. Mm-hmm. That's what you're banking on. And I know, you know, we were talking about how they're working with him and everything. I don't see that happening. Not before you have to pay Jalen some more money. I don't see that happening. Because what's going to – like, you're talking about – this is what's going to be the problem. If Jalen has to have a horrible season for you to even think about moving on from him.
So, well, say, I don't know about that.
I think so. Because if Jalen, okay, put it like this. What was his completion rate last year? Was it 65%?
Yeah, about that.
If Jalen comes back this year and his completion rate is 67%, 2% better than it was last year, it's going to be hard. And say they win 13 games. It's going to be hard to move on from Jalen.
Well, okay. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
13 would be different.
Yeah. 13 and 67 would be different.
But that's different.
But, Hugh, if they go 11 and 6 again, and the numbers are largely the same, what was it, 3,600 yards,
see, not,
65, 25 touchdowns, 6 picks?
That's a conversation.
That's a move off,
I don't know. I don't know, Kyle, because
that doesn't cut it next year.
No, but listen to what I'm saying. And I know where you're coming from, because there's the reports out there that the Eagles are feeling like, you know, they need more out of Jalen to feel comfortable where this team is going, right? But you're also banking that against this young man coming in and being hit with the accelerated training or whatever, that he's going to be ready to go in two years.
The Cole Payton thing, I think, is a joke. Is it likely? No.
But I think it's
possible.
Well, we put the question up. Is there any chance?
Oh,
of course there's any chance.
There's always a chance, well, but yeah. I don't think it's a great chance. Right.
No, I wouldn't say great, but I would give it – I think there's a very simple path for this to happen. And I think the two names are Purdy and Hurts. Right, the way you said, one of them. If Hurts has if Hurts doesn't play well or gets banged up, and Cole Payton gets on the field, that's how Hurts took the job.
Yeah.
Right. Carson was terrible, and they're like, oh, screw it, let's just put Hurts out there for the last four games, and he showed enough to let him have another season, and it just became a thing. It wasn't supposed to be a thing. I don't think Howie had a grand plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they hedged, and then they stumbled into something. The other way is, again, Purdy. Purdy was the third guy on their depth chart. They had injuries. He got in there and he played. Then I think they realized, all right, we could go try to find another quarterback. We could try to draft another quarterback. We try to trade for one. This guy is dirt cheap for 4 years.
Dirt cheap.
So if we could have a dirt cheap quarterback that could play, and then we could pay all our other guys, that's a way to win. I mean, do I think this is likely? No, I mean, I think it's unlikely any fifth-round pick becomes a star player. I mean, that's just the way the league works. But I don't think it's insane this happens, and I think there's a chance it does if they like him. And the most interesting thing to me in the quote is not about the Eagles. It's that there's someone out there in the league that thinks he's really good, right? That thinks the second-best quarterback in the draft somehow slipped to the fifth round. That is interesting.
That is crazy to me, because as bad – like, and this is why it doesn't track for me, because as much as we know about quarterbacks and how teams are desperate to find one,
yeah,
if somebody felt – if that GM felt that strongly about him – being a starter in, say, the next 3 years.
Yep.
They would have taken him.
So you're right. Purdy is the example, though, right? He was the last pick in the draft of a bad quarterback class.
Yeah, but that was out of sheer necessity. And he came in, and when I say sheer necessity, he played out of sheer necessity.
Oh, I know. They lost all their quarterbacks.
And he came in, and he showed that he could run the offense.
Yep.
The way that the coach wanted to run the
offense.
Well,
that's the other part of this that's kind of interesting. This is the first quarterback they've taken for Mannion, right? Like, I'm not saying they drafted him to be a starter. He was a fifth-round pick, but he was drafted.
He's his guy.
He's
his baby.
Sure. I mean, they're gonna, at bare minimum, I think he's going to be here for a while as a backup quarterback. I do. They're going to work.
You know what the comparison was? Taysom Hill. And you remember how when he was with Sean Payton, they did everything in their God-given power to try to get Taysom Hill on the field.
That was Sean Payton's guy.
Yes, and it didn't work. You know, even when who was the guy? Drew Brees got hurt, and they had Taysom Hill. That it might be the same thing.
Could be.
It's one of those things when, you know, when people get their mind, you know, when they get stuck on something and they feel strongly about it, they will force a round peg into a square hole.
Well, did you see, by the way, Cole Payton at the
square
rookie
pig round hole?
round peg, square hole?
No, that same thing. Square peg, round hole.
No, but it would go in.
The round peg would go in
into
the
square hole.
Okay, well, you know what I meant.
Damn. Yeah, the square peg doesn't go into the round hole.
Just trying to help you out.
Well, so what is Cole Payton?
He's the square peg.
There you go.
With the round hole.
Okay. Yeah, what's Jalen?
Well, hold on.
Jalen's the sky.
Hold on. No.
Stop.
All I know is Sean Mannion came here and drafted his guy. He's square peg, square hole.
By the way, did you guys see Cole Payton at the rookie minicamp, what he was wearing on his helmet? It's kind of interesting.
He had a camera, didn't he?
He had a camera on his helmet at rookie minicamp last week. Now, I'm fascinated to see if this becomes an all quarterbacks thing when training camp starts, right? Like Jalen and McKee and Andy Dalton and Cole Payton. You know, that might be the next level to some of this coaching stuff. Like if the coordinator...
Do you see what I see?
Exactly. I want to see what you're seeing as you go through the progressions.
You know what's funny? And this kind of plays into what I was talking about when it comes to coaching Jalen this year and how differently they'll coach him, because now you have a unique angle. If Jalen has to wear this, you have a unique angle to try to see what the quarterback is seeing. I guess you couldn't do it in the game because the camera would be too big, but in practice – you could kind of see his progressions and see how he reads. The coach can. You can see how he's reading the defense and if he's going left to right or middle to right or whatever. However, the quarterbacks decide to read the progression of the route tree.
So I'd have to imagine a lot of times the quarterback goes back to the coordinator, right, and says, "This is what I saw." Right? Mm-hmm. Why'd you go here with the ball? Why'd you do this? Well, this is what I saw. Well. The camera in practice is fascinating to me.
Because you could
then see exactly what he saw as he saw it and kind of coach the points of, hey, you looked here then.
You should have looked over here.
Yep, or you look there then and rip it, or whatever the coaching point is. So that's going to be interesting to see if we see more of that. The Eagles did use it with Payton at the rookie minicamp. We'll see when all the quarterbacks are there if they do. All right, we have a story here, a report. This is from Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk report. And the story was out there yesterday. TMZ had the story. But I want to let you know what Mike Florio's spin on it is, because this is actually something that impacts us as Eagles fans, impacts the Eagles, impacts the larger NFL. So the story yesterday, and it's from TMZ, that Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini rented a boat together in June of 2021. Again, we know that story and those two, it seems like it's been going back a long, long time.
Yeah.
And during this period, it seems like Rossini was pregnant with her first child. So whatever, they had a boat trip at some point, according to TMZ. That is what it is. But Hugh, this is what caught my attention. The ending of Florio's article today. Quote, "The most important question is whether Vrabel will be able to continue to coach the Patriots. He missed the third day of the 2026 NFL draft to attend counseling. Every additional piece of evidence that confirms the existence and duration of the relationship could be the thing that forces Vrabel to step aside for the 2026 season or perhaps longer." Look, Mike is obviously recklessly speculating here, but that reckless speculation is not, I've thought of it. This is a thing now that the Patriots can't avoid. The guy missed the third day of the draft. We had Albert Breer talking about how part of his coaching lore, why he's so good, is his personality, his bravado.
And he's different.
He commands the room, and maybe right now he can't because he's going through a lot. People step away in all walks of life because of personal issues.
Wasn't it like what was it, the Coldplay lady and the guy?
Stepped away.
They stepped away. Yeah. And that story. And then, it was a story we missed a couple weeks ago about forgot the CEO's name, and she got in trouble for it was messing
like the JP Morgan guy.
Yeah, the JP Morgan lady. Well, she got in trouble.
There was an accusation.
Well, it was a false. Yeah, reckless. False, yeah. Right,
yeah. But anyway.
But it
impacts people's lives.
Yes,
so
it does.
Look, there's a lot of this. I mean, this is a big story. It's an NFL head coach. But also, Hugh, and this goes back to something you've been on for a while. Nothing's done till it's done. The biggest reason I think there is a very easy connection to make that the Eagles will trade A.J. Brown to the Patriots.
Because she was instrumental.
Well,
the whole thing.
Well, not her. Mike Vrabel's the coach of the Patriots.
Well, that too.
AJ have a great relationship. If more stuff comes out and Mike Vrabel has to step down.
This changes everything.
It changes everything. To me, the biggest reason why A.J. wants to be a Pat and the Pats want A.J. is Vrabel. Your take on the latest, the boat, the story, and here we go.
And this is a very sensitive subject for a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of people. I'm a recklessly speculate, and I'm a long talk So just get ready for it, because this is a sensitive subject for a lot of people. And I've had people reach out to me, and I've had people say, hey, leave it alone. But here's the thing. This is one of the biggest stories in NFL. And out of respect for both of these people's families, I try not to talk about it as much as I possibly can. And when I talk about it on my own personal time, I was always vague. But here's the reality of the situation. There are some implications, NFL implications, with all of these stories
yep.
that is going on with these two family members. Now, I know the messy side of it is, you know, there's others involved, and there's a lot of innuendo in this whole situation. And I know that's unfortunate. But for all those people that feel like this is these individuals' personal business, it is, but it isn't. Because like you were saying, there's some huge implications in the next couple of months. You know, we joke around with holding the line and all the other stuff. But to Joe's point, this might impact the A.J. Brown trade.
Of course it does.
If this happens. You know, this might impact it in the future. You know, it just has a lot of implications. It's unfortunate that the collateral damage, there's a lot of collateral damage in this situation. And, you know, it's not a situation that you take lightly, but there's some NFL things about it. And as far as, you know, the crews and everything else concerned, it's just messy all the way around, Joe. And no matter what happens, this is going to be something that's going to impact a lot of people for a long, long time, man.
When the story first happened, like when this we first found out about this, right? Whenever that was, a month ago, two months ago. If you had asked me, is there any chance Mike Vrabel doesn't coach the Patriots because of this? I would have said none. I don't feel that way anymore. I think there is a chance that this becomes such a thing for him personally that he says, I just need to take some time here because I can't focus on the team. I got all this stuff that's coming out now.
And I'll tell you another thing that's going on with this. When you talk about the level of criticism for the two, it feels like she's taking more of the brunt of this than he is. You know, because, you know, and even though neither one of them has said a whole lot,
mm-hmm.
but it just feels like, because of who she is and you know, her gender, that she's getting, she's the laughing stock. She's a good reporter, man. She's a really good reporter. And I know that this story has tarnished her image in a way, but she did good work. And it feels like for a lot of people that Mike Vrabel is getting a pass. And there's a lot that's going to come out, unfortunately. There's a lot that's going to be talked about on the airwaves about this whole situation. This is not going away anytime soon. And like you said earlier, the impact of the AJ Brown thing could be the fallout of all of this. It might not happen. It might happen. It might not happen. He might not be the coach. So there's a lot to unpack with all of this.
If I'm Howie Roseman, I am counting down the days. Like, let's just assume, as I say this, the Eagles want to make this trade, right? They want to finish this off and just be done with the AJ thing. I am counting down the days until June 1st so I could just process this trade and just move on. And then I don't have to worry about if Vrabel has to resign or take a year off or whatever the hell he does in July or August or whenever this whole thing snowballs on him. Because if I'm Howie and I'm like, oh, crap, right? Like, I basically worked this deal out with the Patriots. I've drafted. Howie has acquired receivers every other week to replace AJ. I know Hold the Line is funny, but like they've almost built a team that AJ doesn't make sense on anymore.
Yeah, it's I sent you guys a meme about the gold member. Was it the gold member? They were all sitting in and Dr. Evil was telling them, yep, everybody leave, everybody but so-and-so and so-and-so. It's kind of like that because you've drafted this young receiver, Mekhi Lemon, mm-hmm. and A.J. Brown is probably not a fit in this offense.
Of course.
But now the deal isn't done and you don't know what the Patriots are going to do. Don't know.
And look, every time you think the story has kind of died down, it
comes right back.
Well, it's crazy. You know, the photos that came out apparently of them at a bar in New York 6 years ago, someone sat on that, right? Just some person sat on that for 6 years on their phone, which is kind of weird. And then this story with the boat in Tennessee, someone sat on that for 5 years. So
you know what,
who am I to say there's not more people sitting on more things?
I feel like this, as far as that's concerned, because at that point, she probably wasn't as popular as she is, and it's unfortunate, but
I agree. And you know what? People then may not have
realized who she was.
It's just Mike Vrabel with a lady. Who cares?
And this is the unfortunate thing about being popular, a celebrity, if you will, because her celebrity was at its highest when all of this happened. Is that people want to tear you down, and they want to rub it in your face? And unfortunately for her, that's what's actually happening in this situation. Like, I can't imagine, all jokes aside, I can't imagine what she's going through dealing with her husband, her dealing with her family members and all this reckless speculation that everybody's doing. This is a tough time for everybody. And the unfortunate thing about it all, folks, is that nobody's going to get the opportunity to heal no time soon. That's the reality of the situation. Not trying to get all heavy on the radio station, but that's the reality of the situation. Nobody's going to get a chance to heal from this anytime soon.
If you had to guess right now, is Mike Vrabel the coach of the Patriots?
Wow.
No, because he's in an S storm. I can't think of any other words. Wow. I can't say it, but he's in an S storm. And right now, I don't think he's going to be in the right headspace to coach.
Because
going to be somebody that's going to be in that press conference. You can't not talk about this story. You know, especially when you have another nugget dropping, it feels like every other week. There's a little bit more information. And you're talking about potentially an 11-year relationship. An 11-year relationship with somebody that folks might have seen you out with that they didn't know who she was. Now that they know who she was, that's old girl. I remember seeing them at yada, yada, yada. And I got the proof of it. You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for all parties involved.
It's wild. And the other part that's kind of intertwined with all this, obviously for us, Vrabel still being the coach and the AJ trade being finished is top of mind. Hugh, the other thing that if I'm Roger Goodell, you know what I'm thinking about? The schedule release is about to come out.
Yeah.
The Patriots, based on last year, based
we'll probably
on,
be one of the hottest teams on the schedule. Monday Night Football, third, like all that.
Yeah. And if you anticipate AJ going there, right? Like they are one of the stories of the league. Last year's Super Bowl participant from
and
the
you
AFC.
Cannot. And unfortunate thing about what we do, it's the storyline. And whether or not you want to hear about it, it's going to be talked about.
Right. So, like, if I'm Goodell, I'm like, is this guy going to step down? Am I going to put this team on 7 times on primetime and then they don't have a coach? That's.
What do you think Mike Tirico is going to talk about? Chris Collinsworth.
Well, if he steps down, they have to talk about it.
It's like, you know, it's going to be, and it might not be it might not be nothing directly, but it's going to be talked about. You know?
It is going to be interesting how they dance around. Let's say he does go back, but it's like the story was the whole offseason. What do they call it? Mike Vrabel with a lot of offseason drama? Like, what are they going to say?
And then, not only that, when you talk about the Patriots, and I know it's not the same thing, but it's in the same vein. The stuff that they just got done, Stephon Diggs just got done dealing with.
Well, let's not forget the owner a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
The
massage thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's something, it's sports related. I know a lot of people say it doesn't have anything to do with sports. It does.
Well, yeah. Well,
it does.
If there's speculation an NFL coach might step down, it's a huge story.
It's sports related, and it's unfortunate. But you talk about Stephon Diggs lost his job he's not married, but he lost his job over a relationship that he had with somebody.
I'd imagine someone's going to sign him now.
But he's lost endorsements and all this other stuff.
Sure.
Mike Vrabel chilling. Mike Vrabel is going to work. I don't, you know, as far as everything, his life has not been disrupted like Stephon Diggs' life has been disrupted.
Life has been plenty disrupted.
I mean, when I say disrupted, I'm talking about he ain't lose his job.
Not yet.
Stephon Diggs lost his job.
It's on my radar that he steps down.
Totally.
Like, I think it should be on everybody's radar. But for those who think that means AJ is going to be an Eagle or could potentially still be an Eagle, you need to drop that dream.
Oh, he's not going to be here.
I think whether
it's going to hurt the Eagles.
I think whether he goes to the Patriots or a trade there falls through, I think that would be the moment you see more teams jump back in.
Well, I thought of was the Rams, who were interested, people thought they were going to draft Mekhi Lemon. They drafted
Buffalo,
a quarterback.
The Chargers, Ravens.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see where the whole thing goes. But the story yesterday was like just a little extra thing from that Russini-Vrabel thing. But when I saw Florio, like, yeah, keep an eye out. Like, what if he has to step down? It's like, whoa. That takes the story from, you know, TMZ to now right here, front and center, it could affect the Eagles and the whole league.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Jordan Mailata joins us. Jordan, what do you like country music, Jordan?
Love country music, Gus. Love
it. There you go.
That's a bummer. The good country or the bad country? Do you even like the bad country?
I hate it, man. I don't think there is any bad country. Well, I don't think there's any bad country.
You got to listen every day at 3:30.
Yeah. We'll find you some songs. So congrats. You're getting the Montgomery Wanamaker Award from the Philadelphia Youth Sports Collaborative, which is focused on the stuff that you do off the field, which you have been, you know, not every player we have here is particularly involved in like community stuff. And you have been. What is like, where does the desire to be involved come from? Like, where does that come from?
Well, appreciate you guys recognizing me.
Yes.
I'm very honored to receive this award. I think it comes from just, again, my grassroots of being a community guy, growing up in the community, and just giving back. I think it's pretty easy to do that when you have this kind of platform. I think, you know, more players should be encouraged to give back. They should. I'm going to encourage more players to give back, I should say, just because, you know, I think there's more to life than just football, and, you know, I think for me, if you can affect change early on, whether you have a platform or not. I think that's the biggest thing about, again, being part of a community. It's you're doing it for others. You're not doing it for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry. I just want to mention real quick.
Yeah.
There is an event where you'll receive the award. It is May 20th at the Allen Horowitz Six Man Center, 7 to 10 p.m. You can get tickets at pysc.org.
No, I was just going to say, I know there must be a rewarding feeling yourself in doing these things. Not that that's what you're looking for, but that's always some sort of gratification there when you realize you can help others, or you can at least give them either resources or access to bettering their lives. I love the fact that it's not just you. Your wife is there with you, and she's a big part of this as well. So it's a family thing when it really comes to the Mailata brand and what he's doing in the community.
Yeah, makes it easy. I definitely agree with that. It's very self-serving as well. I think it naturally comes along. You kind of feel that gratification. But I think, you know, for me at least, I do it for the just serving others. I think that's just the way I was raised, the community I was raised in and I was a part of. And you know, I think it's just a part of me to want to give back and want to continue to serve my community or communities as best I can, and you know, regardless of the platform or not.
Jordan Mailata with us. So, Jordan, you were able to spend some time with Orr Bernard, who the Eagles took in the 7th round, who has not played any football at all. What were your impressions of just him as a person?
Just his stature.
Yeah.
His statures are pretty impressive. He has size 18 feet, got same size hands as me, and he's 6'4", you know, or 5, whatever it is. You know, just impressed with the size and the athleticness, the rawness of the kid, and kind of reminds me of somebody, you know. So I've got high hopes of the kid, and I'm going to be in his corner for sure, rooting for him and pulling for him, making sure that you know, we can get him there.
What was the biggest challenge for you having, you know, have not played football? Like, what about the game was the hardest thing for you to learn?
Everything. Yeah, as an offensive lineman, there's everything: techniques, schemes, concepts, understanding what pulling meant. You know, you don't really pull as a defensive lineman. So thank God he's playing D line. It's a little bit, no offense to our D lineman listeners out there or D lineman teammates, past and present of mine. But you know, I think it's going to be a little bit of an easier transition for him, just from he doesn't have to learn like these different techniques as an offensive lineman. You know. pulling techniques, blocking techniques, hand techniques. It's going to be freeing for him to just be able to, you know, let it rip and learn the moves of a D tackle or a D end. You just play free.
I would imagine it has to feel pretty good that the NFL have sort of come to you. It's to be one of their ambassadors for the international players, right? You did your thing over there in Australia. They're going to have a game, I believe, over there this year. What's that like for you, having that bestowed upon you, like that responsibility or sort of that task of just expanding the brand of the National Football League? How's that been for you?
I love it. I love it. It's a huge honor. You know, that's a badge I'll wear with pride because, one, I get to share this game that I've come to love with my country people, men and women. And I just have so much love for the game that I want to share it with my people. And the fact that I get to do it, you know, I'm extremely proud of it. I get to represent three countries, America, Australia, and where my parents are from, you know, Samoa. So I take pride in that. And, you know, I don't wear it lightly, so to speak. I rip it as hard as I can.
You'll have a new offensive line coach in Chris Cooper. I wonder, with somebody as great a coach as Stout was and as influential as he was, you know, in all of the players he's coached careers, but I think you specifically, just because of, you know, coming in having not played it before, will it be difficult for you, do you think, to not compare Cooper to Stoutland, given that Stoutland is pretty much all you've known so far?
I don't think it'll be difficult. I think, you know, part of the journey as a player, you got to ride these waves, and this is just where I'm at in my journey. And, you know, it's taken till year 9 for me to get a new coach. And although, you know, I will miss Stout, I'm excited for this challenge. And, you know, so far, Coop's been amazing. He's been an amazing coach. And we're excited to have him. For me, at least, I don't draw any comparisons. It's the same thing I do when we get new players. The drawing comparisons kill everything. And so I try not to do that, whether you're a player or a coach. You know, it's just not everyone is the same. It's like the same kid like you are, right? We have the same story, but we're not the same build. We're not the same, player, so to speak. And so the expectations shouldn't be the same for me and you are. You know what I mean? That makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah.
The expectations shouldn't be the same because, one, we're two different people, same story, just two different ways we go about our processes. And so that's I welcome the change, and I'm excited for it, too. It's been great so far.
How different will it be for you? Now, I don't even know if that's a fair question to ask you, considering you guys haven't really been in pads or anything, but from a philosophy standpoint and a schematic standpoint, would there be much different for you physically that you're going to have to do under the new regime and under the new offensive scheme?
It's still early days right now. So, like you said, it's pretty hard to say what it's going to be physically. Mentally, I think it's going to be great. We're just going to get in our books and study that up. I think the best part about being under Stout's tutelage is the way we have prepared and the time that we've spent in identifying defenses and understanding the defensive DNA of how teams work. We're able to easily pick up these new schemes, and just, you know, that's going to be the challenge. I think so far it's been pretty good, but easy to say that when you're not going against, you know, the defensive badge.
What are you going to miss most about AJ Brown as a teammate?
Come on, man.
What?
How is that your segue to that question? it's crazy.
I wanted to surprise you with it. I wanted to surprise. Well, I could have gone
I'm
in.
I'm surprised. Holy cow!
Well, you're gonna miss Stout, of course. So that was my segue.
Hey, I'm gonna miss AJ. I don't care what anybody says in the media, man. AJ is a hell of a teammate.
There you go.
So obviously, I'm going to miss him. He's a great person, hell of a teammate, and you know it, that stuff is out of our control, man. And so right now, with all that noise going on, we're just focused on, again, we're coming in, we got to lift, we got to run, and that's about it.
Okay.
You know,
so way to lock in.
On right now, it's just locking in on the goal right now is whoever's showing up at OTAs, and that's what we're doing.
Okay. Sounds good.
So everything else is all noise, man, all white noise that we have no control over, man. But he's a hell of a teammate, brother. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you owe me one. You owe me a surprise question in the Jordan Mailata show this year that I wasn't expecting.
We'll see. I'm going to start writing some out.
All right. Well, congrats again. Jordan getting the Montgomery Wanamaker Award from the Philadelphia Youth Sports Collective. You can get tickets to the event, which is May 20th at pysc.org. We thank you, brother.
Real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I know I'll see you Saturday, right? You riding or you what you doing Saturday?
I'm doing that riding, son.
Whoa. I was going to let that go. Yes. I'll see you after you finish up your ride then.
I'll be riding a bike, guys. On that back. Okay. I'll be riding a bike.
All right, Jordan.
All right, brother.
We'll see you later. That is Jordan Mailata, Ike talking about the Eagles Autism Challenge on Saturday. Now, we mentioned Jeff McClain on, I always forget the name of the podcast, Uncovering the Birds. Do I have that correctly, Jack?
Yes, you do. Yeah.
Uncovering the Birds. Jeff McClain had a little bit of Jalen info worth talking about. Here's what he had to say.
He has every reason to be excited about this offense. I think it's going to, in some ways, play to some of his strengths. It's going to actually not require him to run as much if that's not what he wants to do, because it is built around the ground game and that the wide zone blocking scheme and the outside zone runs. I think it can be explosive on the ground. And I think more than anything, just, you know, getting somebody in here to run it who is a bright mind and kind of getting away from what Nick Sirianni has kind of installed here offensively and what we saw last year, which was just a bad scheme. Jalen Hurts knew it was a bad scheme. And you probably shouldn't allow it to affect you the way maybe it did, but he knew it was a crap scheme. And I don't want to, you know, at this point, Kevin Petula is gone, but he just wasn't quite ready to everything that was involved in running this scheme. Just wasn't quite ready to step into that role.
Well, hold on. First of all, I love
the current spin, man.
Yeah, hold on. First of all, that's not Kevin Petula's scheme.
No, it's the scheme they've had for years.
Yes, he's running Nick Sirianni's offense.
Yes, they have sort of modeled
they've
around.
They won a lot of games with that offense. So, maybe it was a crap scheme. I don't know. But here's what I do know. We can't throw Petula in there and the head coach is still here when it was his scheme.
And his guy.
And his
also.
Guy, yes.
Yeah. And the turn. Boy, Jalen's so lucky and happy to have Sean Mannion here. This is what he always wanted to do. This is going to benefit what he does well. Look, I do think there is a possibility. I've allowed for that possibility that this is perfect, right? This raises the floor of the Eagles' offense and potentially raises the ceiling, all those things. All that's great. Like, all Jalen wants is, you know, under center, throwing the ball over the middle, quick reads. Like, Elliot put in his newsletter today in GoBirdsInsider.com, he put a chart of how many times a quarterback, I guess, percentage threw to their first read. And Jalen was, like, all the way at the bottom. And it just sort of, you know, it speaks to those bang, bang, get rid of it, there's the guy. Mm-hmm. And that's some of the things that we've seen over the years is there's a guy open for a second early in the play. He either looks it or looks it off or thinks about
it. He's not comfortable with the throw.
He's not comfortable with the throw, and he's going to have to do those things. Yeah. I do think that if we've said it a million times, is like if he trusts this and sort of does what's there, I think it can benefit him a lot. It raises the floor of a lot of quarterbacks, you know? So yeah. I think it could help him. But the whole, he knew that scheme was crap and, you know, come on, man. This is just a new thing. And I'm glad Jalen's gotten the message that the Eagles like Sean Mannion because
that he's on board with whatever Sean Mannion is. And that's what we're going to find out. I mean, that's ultimately what we're going to find out. And what I'll be interested in, because we've seen new schemes put in early in the season and then they're not working and you go back to doing what is comfortable. So I want to see how Jalen responds, or I should say Sean Mannion in the offense responds along with Jalen, if they aren't having success early, do you stick with it?
Mm-hmm.
Or do, because me and Elliot are of the mind that they're going to pivot back to what Jalen is comfortable with doing if things aren't working early. And I just wonder if that's the case. I think the kid has the ability to run this offense. It's not that complicated. It's really more about trusting the scheme and getting rid of the football.
Yeah, making quick decisions.
Yeah, that's really what it's about, is making those quick decisions. So, yeah, I think everybody's excited about it now, you know, but when you see it in action out there, I just wonder if they stick with it, if they're not having success. Something tells me they are going to stick with it.
Well, the truth is that worse, less talented quarterbacks than Jalen have been successful doing this.
Right.
Yeah, the reason I bring up Mac Jones is really just sort of as an example of...
If he can do it...
Yeah, we think Mac Jones is fine, right? Yeah. He is a low-level starter or he's a high-level backup. Yep. He's one of those two things. But he went in there last year, and the 49ers offense, I don't think it was as good as it was with Purdy, but it was pretty good, right?
He moved the ball. Yeah,
Jimmy G, the offense was fine with Jimmy G. Even Purdy, now I think Purdy is better than some people do, but he was the last pick in the NFL draft, and this scheme got him paid $50 million a year.
Yes, sir.
And I think that Jalen's talent is on par, if not better, than all of those people we just talked about.
Yep.
So if he is able to, I think this could be very beneficial for him. And the whole thing about like how long they keep with it, I think we're going to know, we might not, like we're going to have information before the kickoff of the opening of the first game of the year. Because the eyes, there's always a lot of eyes on training camp, but there are going to be so many eyes from Elliot and from everyone else on what this looks like in practice. And I wonder if we even see a little bit of the first team offense in the preseason.
Well, hallelujah!
Just to try to hit the ground running.
I'm all
this
for
year.
That.
I think it would be great.
I've been begging for that since Nick. Well, the last time Jalen played 1 year, they played 1 year, right?
Maybe 22.
Then he get a hit on the sideline or something. And
the Jets game, and then him and Salah were yelling.
Right. I don't know if Jalen's played a preseason game since then.
No, because wasn't the one he was supposed to play? He got bubble guts.
That was a weird one.
They said he was sick.
Was that 23?
No, it was 20.
It was 22.
It could have been 24 or 25.
No, it was 22.
Okay, yeah, because on 21.
Because we thought,
well, one person said,
some people thought.
One person said they're 90% going to trade for Deshaun Watson.
So they thought that's what was going on.
That they pulled him because they didn't want him to get hurt.
Yes.
Well, and the Deshaun Watson thing has never been refuted. Let's put it that way. You know, it was real.
Yeah.
It was definitely real. He didn't want to come here, right? I mean, that was it.
Yeah.
Oh, Wilson didn't want to come here either.
Wilson didn't want to come here. 215-592-9494.
I bet he wishes he did now.
Yes, I do bet he wishes
he did. I'm glad he didn't.
Yep.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.